Yeah, it's the DTC podcast, people. The Real McCoy, original recipe. First in your ear hole podcast on dynasty trading and player value. Hosted by John Paul Hurley and Izzy Alkafas.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching on TV, this is the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. Welcome back once again. I'm your host, JP Hurley. Joining me as always, Izzy, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, Alkafas. Izzy, what's going on?
What up, man? How you doing?
Really good, man. I don't think I've experienced, I'm just talking about the NFL free agency and trades and stuff. I don't think I've experienced this much movement since I had Chipotle last week.
It'll do it to you sometimes. What do you get, the hot sauce?
Yeah, extra hot sauce. Actually, yeah. It was just a tortilla wrapped in hot sauce, or hot sauce wrapped in a tortilla. Yeah.
Nice. Not even cheese, huh?
Just hot sauce. I always skip the cheese. Yeah, that backs you up.
Love it. Love
you
it.
Like that? So we got a lot of stuff to go through. Usually we sit around and talk small talk for a few minutes, but we're going to skip the small talk. We're going to get right into it. This is a little bit of a brief, more brief version of our podcast. So stick with us here as we navigate through as many topics as possible. We're going to do running back free agency moves and trade moves. Just basically running back offseason moves. There was a ton of things that happened. A lot of big names, a lot of big movements. And the calculator website is going crazy right now. So if you have a chance to... If you haven't had a chance to sign up for a Dynasty Trade Calculator membership, do that right now, because one of the best things about it is that these updates, as they come through, are relatively live. The changes happen right away. So if you're wondering what the value of a player as they move teams, or the players that they impact as they move out or into a team, all that stuff's accounted for pretty much right away. It's kind of one of the coolest things about our business here, our site. So let's get into it. Let's see. I'm going to list them all off so that people can know what to expect. And you can tell me which ones you want to start with. We've got Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Joe Mixon to the Texans, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Austin Eckler to Washington, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Tony Pollard to the Titans, DeAndre Swift to the Bears, and Zach Moss to the Bengals.
Let's just go right down the line? Yeah. Let's do that.
That was a whole lot. That's crazy. Like, we almost spent an entire podcast just listing off all the changes that went down without even saying anything about them.
Right.
So the first one, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Talk to me.
Yeah, this is actually really, really good news for Derrick Henry. Gus is gone. You have Dobbins, who's a free agent. You have Mitchell coming off a serious injury. I'm guessing they'll bring somebody else in, just have another running back that they can plug in. But Gus Edwards had 13 touchdowns last season. And I know historically the conversation's been running backs in the Ravens offense get sniped by Lamar Jackson, which historically they have. But there was a clear focus on keeping Lamar Jackson healthy last season and not running him as much in the red zone. And that led to a lot of touchdowns for Gus Edwards. So basically, Derrick Henry is a rich man's Gus Edwards. So I think this is potentially going to be a last hurrah. He might get I know he's on that 2-year deal. If you're a contender and Derrick Henry's value is completely suppressed, and I think there is some negative, I guess the perspective is for most people that this is a bad landing spot, or not a bad landing spot, but the touchdowns aren't going to be there. And he's not going to get that many receptions, which the receptions part is likely true. But I think he's pretty much a lock with that offensive line and that offense at double-digit touchdowns. So, and you're likely going to get 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. He'll likely finish as an RB1. My hunch is that he'll still finish as a elite option at the position as long as he stays healthy for the next couple of years. And you can get him, you don't even have to give up a first round pick to get him anymore. So if you're a contender and you can give up a second plus something, I think that's the right decision.
That makes sense. I agree. I think he should eat in that offense. Pretty safe to say that. As long as he can stay healthy, obviously, which hasn't been traditionally a concern for him. But as the years pile on, that becomes more and more of a concern, just durability.
He's currently RB24.
Yeah.
And Maybe he's a little higher. Let me refresh, because I was looking at an old rankings list. He's RB19.
Yeah.
So he's basically even with Joe Mixon right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I would say maybe the only point I could make, the counterpoint, the devil's advocate, because I'm with you on that. But if you can't get a reasonable enough price, he does become a significantly inflexible piece on your dynasty team. You know, like you're not going to be able to make anything on him or lose anything on him. He's just going to be kind of there until he rides off into the sunset, you know. So it's one of those ones that doesn't give you a lot of options if he does go down midseason, or if he's not getting as much of a workload as you'd hoped. You're not going to be able to get a lot for him or move him off your team very easily.
No, but you can't. I mean, he's basically wherever he is to start this season is probably where he's going to end up.
Yeah.
Unless there's a massive discount.
Yep.
One way or the other. So at this point, once you get into these guys, I can get you, you know, an RB1 season or even just one, and you can get that for a second round pick. That's actually solid return on investment. Because how many second round picks are actually going to give you any RB1, wide receiver 1, tight end 1, or QB1 season?
Yeah.
Right. Not many.
Got to get lucky. That's pretty good for Derrick Henry, I think. You mentioned Joe Mixon, so let's just transition on to him. Joe Mixon makes his way over to the Texans to kind of fill a pretty big gap at running back, depending on how you perceive things. But how do you feel about this? And like, what does this mean? Obviously, I think Devin Singletary left town. But they're still sitting on
Pierce.
What's his name? Yeah, Pierce.
Yeah, so Pierce, I don't know if it was injuries or what with Pierce, but he definitely took a massive step back, enough of a step back. Going into the season, it was supposed to be Pierce with Singletary kind of being just a spell back for him, and that completely changed. So I think this is actually really huge for Mixon, assuming that there isn't some sort of revitalization that Pierce goes through. But Mixon finishes RB5 to RB7, depending on the league, last season. And he's kind of an afterthought, similar to Derrick Henry. And I think with the Texans, he's going to be utilized as the main bell cow like he was in Cincinnati. And I think you're looking at another, maybe he doesn't finish as an RB6, but I still think that Mixon's looking at an RB1 season. So he kind of fits in that same pocket as Derrick Henry. Now, his efficiency was significantly reduced in that offense, but it's volume over efficiency for a lot of players, unless you're Devin Achane, right, where you can hit these home runs. I think that Mixon will still get the volume, and you can make the same type of offer for Joe Mixon that you did with Derrick Henry and be happy with the production that you'll be getting.
Yeah, I agree. And that, like, these first three running backs are so similar in that nature as we transition to the next one too eventually here. But just to kind of cap off things on Joe Mixon, another aging vet. This is kind of like the story this year, right? There's a theme. There's aging vets that are changing teams, but happen to be landing in good positions, in my opinion. You know, like Mixon goes from Burrow to CJ Stroud, still what most would consider a high-powered offense, with Stroud maybe developing even more in his second year. Lots of opportunities for Joe Mixon over there, so that's going to be exciting for him. And I agree with you about Damian Pierce. Like, it just didn't quite catch on like some people hoped that he would. It didn't happen, yeah. And the team is transitioning away from that. They recognize that, and they're moving away.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we'll see, too. I mean, obviously, we have a lot more running backs to cover, but we always, this offseason is kind of interesting because it's just a lot of running backs trading places, but mm-hmm. not a lot of role changes.
No.
And there isn't a huge influx of high-end running backs coming into this draft. Most of them are going to be second-round picks. So when you look at Saquon just went to Philly, right? And then you got Swift, who went to Chicago, and Henry went to Baltimore, and Mixon went to the Texans.
Aaron Jones to the Vikings, yeah.
Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Josh Jacobs to the Packers. Like, they're still keeping their same roles, just mm-hmm. on different teams.
Agreed.
So it was just kind of musical chairs as it was to people losing or gaining a significant, you know, status, you know, outside of Pollard, who we're going to get into. But I think that was kind of writing on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that, but it's kind of funny that the running back market might be a really interesting thing to watch in the offseason, especially with how limited the draft is, like you mentioned. But a lot of these big names are landing on teams early, and it's kind of like peeling back a tier that's left for whatever teams still need a running back. Like, what's Cincinnati going to do?
I mean, they brought in Zach Moss.
Is that good? Is that adequate? I guess that's adequate. He had a solid year.
I think teams are starting to figure out that running backs, they don't really matter all that much. And for them, like they look at Mixon and deteriorate. Like, why pay Mixon twice as much, three times as much as they have to pay Zach Moss when they're probably going to give similar production?
Yeah.
Which makes a whole lot of sense, you know? So Zach Moss's, and that's the thing that's tough, is does Chase Brown get most of the work, or is it Zach Moss? They bring in another running back via the draft, where I think that's less of a concern for these other running backs that got these larger contracts. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
I don't know. It's hard for me to subscribe to the running backs don't matter thing. I think as long as things are going well and they're not spending a lot of money on it, like, because that happens, you know, some teams are fortunate enough to not have to spend a ton of money on it. Like, I think Baltimore was a great example. You just mentioned Gus Edwards, who was incredibly efficient last year. He's not making very much money, you know, after J.K. Dobbins goes down. They didn't really probably feel the heat from, you know, being running back needy. But there are teams like the Vikings would be a good example. They get rid of Delvin Cook. They've got Cam Akers that steps in. They thought Alexander Mattison would catch on. And they're kind of doing that the running backs don't matter thing by shipping off Delvin Cook, but they didn't get the production they needed. And I feel like that really impacted the game plan. You know, like the teams that are feeling it are really feeling it. And I think those are the ones that are going to go splurge on a running back this year. That's why the Vikings were like, we're done messing around with this. We've got the cap room. Let's just get somebody that we like. And it's Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, are we talking about Aaron Jones next?
We are actually.
Well, perfect. Good segue. So, as a Vikings fan, how do you feel about Aaron Jones?
As I lean forward and flash my Vikings logo sweater here. You know, Aaron Jones is a great running back. He's getting up there in years, so it's not a relatively long-term fix for the position on the team by any means. I think the team situation, I don't like it though, because he is kind of like a win now type of running back with his advancing years, and the team appears to be embracing Sam Darnold as the starter. Like, you don't give a backup quarterback that much money. So I kind of feel like they're planning on going out with him, and it doesn't make sense to bring on and spend a lot of money on an aging vet running back if you're not going to fully address the quarterback position. So I don't like it for the team, but I like the player.
Yeah, and this one's interesting. So the Vikings do have a very solid offensive line, and Aaron Jones likely gets back into the 200s for carries. So he's always been relatively efficient as well. And ever since his 16-touchdown game, which is kind of funny, is that
game
he had. Did I say game? I said, oh, season. Excuse
there you
me.
Go.
I said game. That's a Madden performance.
That's an Al Bundy performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Polk high.
Yeah.
So basically the last four seasons combined, he's had 19 touchdowns or 17 touchdowns. So in that 2019 season, basically was his last four seasons combined. I definitely think that changes this season, as you mentioned, with likely a quarterback that's going to need a lot of support. So I think they brought Aaron Jones in for a variety of different reasons. He's good, he's good for checkdowns. He's an efficient running back. He's a well-rounded running back, and I get it. He's advanced in his age, but he still showed that he's got plenty of legs in him last season.
Mm-hmm.
If he can stay healthy. So I think Aaron Jones is a really, really good buy in Dynasty. And my guess is I'm curious to see what he's going for. He is
gotta be way below like Mixon, even like I probably say like in the mid to late 20s. And while you're plucking away, looking that up, I just want to throw out a really fun fact for the Vikings that you and me in our like little fun text group that we've got, we're talking about this. But did you know that in the history of the Minnesota Vikings franchise, they've never drafted a quarterback in the top 10 ever?
I did see that. I think Ponder was the high. No. Well, what was Culpepper?
Culpepper 18? Was like 11. Ponder was like 12.
13, 12. Okay.
Something like that.
And you think that changes this year?
I want it to change this year, but I don't think it. I don't think you bring in Darnold and pay him that kind of money to be a backup quarterback to a rookie. It would make sense if they paid him that kind of money to start the season to maybe. And he's not the best guy to, bring a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback under his wing either. So it doesn't like the move doesn't make sense, but I would hope that they draft a quarterback. I hope they move into the top 10 and take something.
Yeah, but either way, I think it's going to be, I guess Darnold's still, going to be the main guy there to start the season until they segue.
I think so too, yeah. And just to cap off this thought, Tommy Kramer, 1977, 27th overall, Culpepper, 11th overall, 1999. Ponder, 12th overall in 2011, and Teddy Bridgewater, 32nd overall in 2014. Those four are the only quarterbacks they've ever drafted in the first round, and they've never had one in the top 10.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think that'll change this year, assuming that the four quarterbacks don't go before they can move up to get one.
Yeah.
And I think they likely will try to move up. But Aaron Jones is currently RB35.
Okay.
He's in the pocket with Pollard, Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum, Zach Charbonnet. And I think a lot of that has to do with age. He's 29. So this will be age 30 season. I think he turns 30 in December. So technically he's going to be 29 for most of the season. But he had a down year. He was hurt. Only had three total touchdowns in 11 games. And I think that changes this year. So even like we talked about Mixon and Derrick Henry, I think Aaron Jones for the price is maybe even a better buy. I don't even think you need to give up. I think you need to give up a player that's who would be a good, I don't know the type of player that you can give up. Let's see what he is ranked amongst. Like for Charbonnet, for example, I'd much rather have Aaron Jones than Charbonnet. Now I get it. Charbonnet's 23 years old, but when is he going to get the role? Like Kenneth Walker's also young. Does he always just split? Is this one of those Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones scenarios for however many years? And how good is Charbonnet relative to Aaron Jones to begin with? So if I can flip Charbonnet for Aaron Jones and I'm trying to switch my team from rebuilding to contending, that's a good transition.
Yeah. And I think, if you're going the opposite direction and you have Aaron Jones and you're switching from contending into rebuilding or retooling, I think the right move is either there's a lot of hype around him right now because he switched teams and naturally there's a little bit of a bump right there. And you can probably get more value than what he's currently ranked in the value system. You can get more than a running back 35 for Aaron Jones right now. If you wait a couple weeks, things will kind of die down as the offseason continues on. You're going to have to sit on Aaron Jones until either the season's just about to kick off or during the season after he's had a big game or two. Just as like a piece of advice for teams that are retooling or rebuilding that have Aaron Jones, trade him now or wait.
Yeah. Yep.
Should we move on to the next one? Austin Eckler to the Washington Commanders. This is interesting because they've got some relatively efficient running backs on the roster, and this is one that I didn't fully expect.
Well, with Gibson departing, I think they needed that receiving back, even though Robinson showed out okay in that department.
He's like kind of one of the better / best receiving backs in the NFL last year.
Who, Eckler or Gibson? Robinson. What are you talking about? Oh, from an efficiency perspective, but he didn't get the requisite volume. I think he's, I wonder if that's more of a Sam Howell thing than it is Brian Robinson being.
Or the offense. Yeah, there's the quirk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, with Austin Eckler, I feel like they don't necessarily want to give Brian Robinson the full, just every down back type of role. The Eckler signing is not one that is massive, right? It's like 5.5 a year. The problem with Eckler is he fell off so much from 22 to 23. He had his worst efficiency by far. His receiving was receiving numbers were down. His rushing numbers were down. Touchdowns were down across the board. He looked very sapped. I actually think that you should go and try to acquire a Brian Robinson over trying to acquire Austin Eckler for cheap and hoping he has a little bit of a renaissance.
Yeah, I mean, gosh.
He looked really, really rough last season. And I get it. He's not going to cost you a ton. Maybe a late second at this point, early third plus a little bit, something small. My guess is a late second. But I think Eckler will scare some Brian Robinson owners, which he shouldn't. So that would be somebody I'd be targeting. And
yeah,
you probably can get him for Brian Robinson for a, what do you think, a early third. Second? No. God, no. I think you're Brian still going to have to give up. Brian Robinson, I think, still has probably, let's see what he is in the old.
I think you might find an owner that is bailing out based on the Austin, because Austin Eckler arguably is a big name at the position.
Yeah.
And I bet there's a lot of really discouraged Brian Robinson owners out there that you might be able to squeeze out. Maybe you're right. Maybe like late second would be the middle ground for me.
Yeah, it looks like his value is about 203.
Okay.
So this is our first poll of the day. Let me throw this up there and see if that matches.
Poll of the day. I feel like we need to have some sort of like music.
Poll, yeah, right. So, well, I guess we'll find out. Don't let me forget, because 90% of the time we do these Twitter polls, we expect to come back to them, and then we never do, and it's never
even
talked about.
I always come back.
No,
you're lying.
You never come back, dude.
You're full of it.
You never come back. You never come back.
Come back.
I tell your kids that all the time. He's never coming back. And you keep showing up.
So. I'm just getting milk and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one, that's pretty good. I will make sure that we come back to that after we get milk. And the milk in this case is Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about this one. This one's an interesting one, obviously filling the Aaron Jones gap. It seems like AJ Dillon is either requesting a trade or looking to test his luck in the market.
So this is, I think, an upgrade. If Josh Jacobs stayed in Las Vegas, which I don't even think they had the intent to, because I feel like Zamir White is somebody they're comfortable with, I feel like his role would have been significantly reduced. So this is a godsend, I think, for Josh Jacobs owners, because in Green Bay, I feel that he's going to get a majority of the workload there. So as we've seen with AJ Dillon, like AJ Dillon, they don't really like him. They don't give him enough carries, and even when he gets the touches, he doesn't really do anything with it. He's a plotter of all plotters. He averaged under 3.5 yards per carry last season. I don't think he's a threat to Josh Jacobs and the workload that I think he's going to get.
I don't think he's even going to stay.
You don't think so?
No.
I think they'll bring him back for cheap. You think they're going to move on from him?
I think he'll move on from them. And I think that like, if/when he does, it'll be a little bit sad, because this is kind of what we wanted for Aaron Jones all along too. Like I know that you consider him plotting and not a
huge
threat to
Aaron
the main.
Jones.
What's that?
Are you saying? Do you mean to say Aaron Jones there?
No. Yeah. I do. I'm sad for Aaron Jones because he spent years in that offense and he had to share the workload with Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon. And while I agree that AJ Dillon has shown that he's kind of plotting along and not a main threat to like the main running back, but 178 touches, 178 carries, I should say. He came away with 22 receptions also. So we're talking like 200 touches in that offense, pulling away from the stuff that we wanted to see from Aaron Jones. So it's really kind of sad that Aaron Jones never really got to experience what we might see from Josh Jacobs in that offense if AJ Dillon leaves.
Yeah. I know that. I think the longer that AJ Dillon sits on the shelf, the more likely they just bring him back.
Sure.
For cheap. And it's what, a week over? When did free agency start? Four days ago?
Yeah,
four days ago. So we're 4 days into it, because it was, what day is it? Thursday. So let's say that AJ Dillon does not return. I think that's actually worse.
Oh.
Because we know that AJ Dillon is not going to be a real threat to Josh Jacobs. I know he got 178 carries, but a lot of it had to do with Aaron Jones missed a lot of time. But in the games that Aaron Jones was available, it was kind of like they were getting in, you know, they were bringing in Taylor a little bit and they're just kind of mixing and matching. But I think Aaron Jones wasn't 100% for most of the season.
Sure. Makes sense.
And you saw that in his efficiency and all of that.
Yep.
But if they bring back AJ Dillon, he's not a real threat. If they draft the running back, that changes things because that's an unknown and they could come out and just want to give. Putting the emphasis on acquiring a running back via the draft scares me more, unless it's like a sixth or seventh round pick, scares me more than bringing back AJ Dillon.
No, there's not nonetheless. Really, yeah, there's not really a ton of concerning running backs that are even in the draft. I don't think the Packers are going to take anybody early on, but yeah.
There's specialists in the draft.
Sure.
Right. There are guys that are great in the red zone. There's guys that are good as satellite backs. So guys that could take role away from Josh Jacobs. Yeah. I don't think AJ Dillon, even though he's kind of like the red zone back, he's not very efficient in that role. So I think they're likely not going to bring back AJ Dillon. But if they do, that's good news for Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. Either way, I think Josh Jacobs transitioning over to Green Bay is really good for fantasy.
Yeah, I like that.
So is he going to get the 350 carries or 340 carries that he got last year? No. He got damn near 400 touches in 2022. I think I said last year. In 2022. And only 270 last year. So I think he's probably in the 300 range this season with Green Bay. And if this offensive line stays healthy and together, I think that's really good news for Josh Jacobs. Once again, I think he's in the same with Mixon and Derrick Henry. I expect him to keep his RB1 status.
Yeah.
For 2024.
Continuing on the musical chairs game with the veteran running backs, we've got Saquon Barkley to the Eagles replacing DeAndre Swift. But the Eagles have some running backs on that team that they kind of like that are underground a little bit. Talk to me about Saquon going to the Eagles.
This is good and bad. So his efficiency should go up significantly. The bad news is
volume.
Well, it's the tush push, right? Is that actually getting... And I don't know. You may know this. Is the tush push banned yet? Will it be banned? I know they were talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know if that has been yet. I know there's like there's a couple of them that I was wondering about. One on the other side of the ball too.
Yeah, I guess we'll see on that. And then also, does the tush push not work with Jason Kelce being gone? I think Kelce was a big part of why that play worked so well. Now, I know Hurts gets a lot of credit, but I think a lot of it is Kelce. If they still continue to do the tush push and it works, that's going to steal a lot of fantasy points from Saquon. The good news, though, is that we saw what Swift did in that offense, and we can increase that significantly with Saquon over DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the volume will be there for Saquon, especially against the Giants. Those are going to be two big games. I mean, those are going to be 40-point fantasy games against the Giants. But you look at what DeAndre Swift did, you know, 10-50, essentially. Averaged 4.6 yards a carry, had around 40 receptions. So he had 260 touches in that offense. If Saquon stays healthy, he's going over 300. No doubt, there's no doubt in my mind. And the tush push will determine whether he hits double-digit touchdowns rushing or not. But I think he is a dark horse overall RB1.
Mm-hmm.
If he's as good as we all thought he was coming out, and the Giants situation was limiting his potential.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty easy to argue that that was the case. I think he kind of had a lack of talent around him in New York. And I'm sorry to Giants fans that are out there that are grimacing right now, but kind of pretty easy to land on that side. But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of breaks down during the season. Are you at all concerned about Saquon's durability and age now that he's just reached the age of 27, which is kind of like one of the death blow ages of running backs in this day and age?
Yeah, it's not ideal. He still looked really good last year. And I get it, the efficiency numbers weren't there, but I think a lot of that had to do with the offense. So I think over the next couple of years, you should still see pretty good production out of Saquon Barkley. And from the eye test, there was nothing there that showed, it wasn't like the Eckler deal. Like if you watch Eckler, you can see a noticeable difference between Eckler and from 2023 or from 2022 to 2023. You don't see that same thing with Saquon. And durability is a problem, but he also, over the last three seasons, he's played, what is it? He played 13, 16, and 14 games. So he missed three games last year. He missed one game in 22, and he missed three games in 21. So either way, outside of that 2021 season, I think is when he had his 2020 season is when he had his massive injury or his bigger injury. So I'm not as concerned with Saquon with the age because he has a lot of room to give up in terms of his explosiveness. Like there is a little bit of cushion there. As we saw, like Derrick Henry is a good example. He was so explosive. He is so explosive. It's not like he still isn't, that he should be able to last into just like Derrick Henry. Saquon should be able to last into his later 20s as long as he stays healthy. And that's the kind of the big if. But as we see, like Christian McCaffrey's getting up there too. And he's still very, very good. He's the best running back in the league. He'll be 28 this season. But I think with the elite running backs, and I think Saquon is that, and I think it's more than just in theory. I think Saquon actually is an elite running back in the right situation. They will last longer than 27, 28. So I'm not too concerned about Saquon.
Yep, I like that. I think that's fair. We've got three more to cover. I'm going to try to save a bigger one. Yeah, do you want to do a quick fire thing?
Sure. Yeah.
First one, Tony Pollard to the Titans. Quick fire me.
I think this is really good news if you want to acquire Tyjae Spears. I don't think anybody expected Spears to be the number one guy, or at least the full workload guy. Tony Pollard coming in, he'll fit his role as like what he did with Zeke. Is I think he's more of a complimentary back than he is just the guy. So I think you could honestly acquire either one of them, but I'd still rather acquire Tyjae Spears at the price. And I think you're looking at a solid RB2 for most of next year when that offense is getting bolstered. They brought in Calvin Ridley, which we'll talk about in the next show. They have, Hopkins still there. We have Levis. So if that offense does take that next step, I think Spears is the main catalyst at the running back position. It's not like Tony Pollard's a slouch, but I do like Spears' discount there with Tony Pollard arriving.
You got it. Two left, Zach Moss of the Bengals. Talk to me.
Yeah, we touched a little bit about this too. I don't know about this one because is this a indication that Chase Brown's going to get most of the work or at least be the primary, or is this going to be a full split down the middle? They're both cheap enough to where you could acquire either one that you have a gut check on. I personally think I would acquire Zach Moss at cost and hope they don't bring in a running back via the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
So is Chase Brown going to be the 1A, 1B, or is he the 2 to somebody's 1? Or do they not like Chase Brown enough to where they're going to bring in another running back where Chase Brown is 3, but now Zach Moss has better competition? You know, that's kind of the weight. But I think the discount, or at least the unknown of Chase Brown is going to likely make him more expensive than the known unsexy Zach Moss. So if you're a contender that needs an RB3 or a flex play, Zach Moss is a decent purchase at his price.
Last one, DeAndre Swift to the Bears.
I think Swift is a really good running back, just not a running back that you're going to give 300 touches to. So I expect Herbert and Roshan and Swift to be a three-headed monster. I think this is bad news for Swift. If I was a Swift owner, I would probably look to to try to get out from under him. And durability is a concern with Swift too. He's always just kind of nicked up, missing games. I would probably still, if I needed that, if I wanted to take one shot at a running back in that offense, I'd probably take Herbert and get him at dirt cheap prices and hope. You don't want to hope for injuries, but wait for an injury to occur to Swift or Roshan, and then you have somebody that you can plug in.
I like that. That makes sense. Yeah, it is. It's a confusing situation. I would probably still bet on the talent. I think Swift will probably rise to the surface and it'll be fine, but I like the strategy.
I just don't think he's
going to
be a bell cow.
Yeah. I think that people who own him don't think that either, so you might be able to get him at a discount, and maybe like the injury idea might work in reverse for you. Maybe Roshan and Khalil have some struggles, and then it's the DeAndre Swift show. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I would rather not wait until that happens. I'd rather have him at a discount now and just sit on him and see what happens. Maybe they just feed the hot hand, and he's typically the one. I think his talent is just kind of supersedes theirs by quite a lot, personally, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think Herbert's underrated, but I don't disagree with you. Swift is really good. I just don't know how much work they actually give him.
Makes sense. Maybe the right answer is to have all three on your roster.
Yeah, there you go.
See which one stands out. That's pretty good. That's the running back movement, the running back ball movement. Once again, you guys, thank you so much for listening to the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Check us out on Twitter at FF Dynasty Trades. Lots of cool stuff coming out on the social media, so make sure you give us a follow. You can find Izzy at DTC underscore Izzy E, and you can find me at FF Hercules. Thank you for listening,
and,
guys.
You forgot. You said you weren't going to.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't forget.
Okay, you just ran out of time.
I made
Anyways,
a mistake. I forgot.
Okay, you did it. 65-35 in favor of the 203. So he's probably in the 205-206 range.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which I would buy for that price.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Bye.